how blessed are we that our children are safe tonight? And I think in that moment...
Don't make me cry. I actually get more enjoyment out of life when I'm playing Xbox with my 10-year-old than I've ever had in my life doing anything else.
Money making is hard at first, and it gets easy, and then you see, oh, this is so easy, it actually should be forbidden. Like, is this really
true?
You're
so right. Successful people see abundance everywhere. I could go into a room and make money from the room.
There is a sense why the present is called the present, yes. Right? Because it's actually the present in the present. Exactly, it's a gift.
Ladies, they have this sixth sense.
Yeah.
Intuition. You can't bullshit it. So
I am driving right now to an amazing podcast interview with Dariusz Sudi. He is one of the most inspirational leaders in the personal development scene in the UAE. For me personally, I've met him last year at the Gladiator Summit. And what inspired me so much, beside his amazing success, is his personality. Like, he was always there in the break times. He was answering questions. He was being close to people. And that's a philosophy I like from a human perspective. He came to the UAE with only $750 in his pocket. He built wealth and he lost it all again. And today I will talk to him about how it is to build and rebuild and rebuild success over and over again. We're going to dive deep into family patterns, identity topics, and I think there are going to be some very, very deep moments to share with him. So stay tuned for this podcast. Okay, so Dariusz, first of all, thank you for letting me come to your holy space. Normally you sit here.
I do.
But today I have the honor to interview you. We just had a 20-minute chat. Perhaps we're going to open it to the public. I don't know yet because we had some spicy topics, but okay. I'm very, very happy to be here, in your office in Dubai Marina. I think we are. And as I told you, my community is on fire and wants to see proof of people who are widely successful and have their heart at the right place, right? And for me, you are one of these inspiring success stories. So thank you so much for being on my podcast.
I'm honored to be here.
Thank you.
I'm honored to be in my own office. So thank you.
So
for
I don't have a podcast studio yet. So
you
thank
can use
you
this anytime you like.
No,
you can use
you
this
so
yours.
Much. Yeah,
it's yours.
So as I said, I have a program, and this is not about me, but I have a program which is called First Millionaire of the Family, and this is why we're here. This is people believe money is the root of all evil, and you believe and I believe, and we just chatted about that your identity shapes your reality. So you, for me, are not the shiny success story where everything was just easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
See, when you say shiny, I automatically think of my head.
No.
Right? So you're not referring to the shiny.
Hat.
You're not, okay, that's fine.
I like
fine
your
then.
Shiny
that's
hat.
Fine then. Okay.
So not only the shiny success story, but a real success story. So I would like to know, what are the milestones of your success, which got you here? I know it's a hard question because you have so many, stuff we can
Long
talk
life.
About, but we have, I think, 45 minutes
sure.
or so.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. First of all, how do we define success? Okay. So to me, I realized success is when you can put your head on that pillow and sleep soundly without worries, without concerns, without worrying about tomorrow. As you age in your life, in one's life, the way we judge success differs. So when you're poor, you want money. When you have money, you want health. Mm. When you have health, you want love. When you got love, you want six, all sorts of things. So how do we define success? Mm-hmm. At the moment, I know that your program is called First Millionaire of the Family. I am, and I guess you
sure.
are.
Yes.
So we can talk about money, but I just don't define, because lots of people could be listening saying, oh, just because you're rich, you think success. I don't think so. There's lots of unhappy, great people who are rich, but they're unhappy. Doesn't make them bad people. So, we can talk about money if you wish. Would that be okay?
I would like to talk about money. I would like to talk about success. I would like to talk about like what it really means to not only build like first millionaire of the family is not about money. It's about wealth. So wealth is also health. Wealth is also love. Wealth is also a relationship. Like, but what I think is that if you build a lot of success and if you build a lot of money, it's because of your core beliefs. So even if you're a millionaire and you're burned out and your life is in trouble and you don't have stable relationships, that could be an inner belief, right?
True.
So what interests me the most also about your life is like you built wealth and you lost it all and then you build it again. Like what core traits do you need to overcome your fears, to overcome like hardship and to overcome hatred, like all of the things that really matter while building wealth?
I think I was cursed or blessed, however you want to think about it, that I lost lots of close family members when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me realize that life is not guaranteed. You know, your tomorrow is not guaranteed. Every day is a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I didn't choose to be on this earth. Now I am. I might as well make it count. So one thing I don't do, I don't waste time.
Mm-hmm.
When I look around, I see two things. Walking zombies. People are just in jobs and just waiting for their retirement plan. And they're going to be unhappy when they finish their work life. And two, I see pain. People living other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because I studied and I realized majority of people, when they come to their deathbed, the biggest regret is not living an authentic life. They lived somebody else's life. And one thing I do know, that we will die, you know, and I don't want to have a life of regrets. Also, I did it, I tried it, I did everything. And by procrastinating or focusing on fears, I'll be living somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made a decision at a young age that when that piano is just about to squash me on my head and I look up and my life flashes in front of me, I'm going to go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have a wow life, right? And you can't have a wow life if you fear talking to people, if you fear asking for money, if you fear selling something, if you fear building a business because you want security.
Mm-hmm.
With getting wealthy financially, you have to take on a lot of uncertainty.
Exactly.
So you have to be comfortable with your uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So if I said to my, I did say to my mom, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, it was so way out of her comfort zone. She did everything she could for me to become a manager of a supermarket.
Uh-huh.
Because that's guaranteed a salary.
Exactly.
And I was sitting, I'll never forget, about 20 years ago, I'm sitting in England. My Lexus is outside. I think I had another sports car. And she's shaking her head. I said, Mom, why are you shaking your head? She goes, you know what? If you stayed in Tesco's, you would have been a manager now, a store manager now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what about this house that we got and this car? She goes, well, there's no guarantee. It's risk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you worked for Tesco's, they'll be guaranteed a salary.
Yeah.
So then I looked at her and I thought, you know what? Oh, she's got no financial education. I don't blame her. It's just an observation that all her life, she focused on covering rent,
mm-hmm.
paying the bills. And she most she ever earned was that, because whatever you focus on is on what you get. With me, I never focus on my bills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always earning more, far more than what my bills are.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you focus, I focus on abundance. So to your listeners, I noticed that poor people think scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
The world is short of finance, short of love. You know, I'm never going to find the love of my life. There's not enough money to go around. You know,
people are not going to buy.
They're not going to buy.
Yeah.
He's happy. So he must have had it lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say successful people see abundance everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I could go into a room and make money from the room.
100%. Like, there is never a lack of money. There's only a lack of creativity, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you got to be able to see it. So I was talking to my PA earlier today. I said, whatever you focus on is you get.
Mm-hmm.
You can focus on lack of, or you can focus on what there is.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you focus on is you get, then you got to take action.
Yeah.
Because there's many fat people sitting in front of the television at 2 a.m, flicking television, eating chips, and when they have a six pack, right? but wishing it.
A home EMS stimulator to.
indeed. Or, you know, like manifest. There's only so much manifesting you can do, but you got to get off your ass.
Exactly.
Go out there, go to the gym and watch what you eat. So there's a certain amount of discipline involved in becoming successful. So how I made it was because I burned all my boats. I burned all my bridges. There was only one way out. It was easy. It was painful, but it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
What's hard is when you're comfortable and getting out and going to make it bigger.
Yeah.
Because I've spoken to, on my podcast, to billionaires, and I don't get it. The guy's like worth $2 billion, and he gets up early in the morning, he wants to grow his company, he wants to have $4 billion. And I'm like, you have everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
That bit I don't get.
Exactly.
I don't get it. There's a certain type of people who have everything and they want more.
Mm-hmm.
With me, I have everything. Thank you, God. Yeah. And I live in gratitude every day because I've earned it. I've worked 47 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I earned it and I can go wherever I want, buy whatever I want, with whoever I want, as long as I want. I don't have to explain anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's freedom.
And that's like the real like purpose of money and the real purpose of wealth. So when I hear these stories, and I also interviewed millionaires, and I was in Richard Branson's private island. He is actually.
I was there last year.
Yeah, me too.
last year.
Last year.
Oh,
yeah.
What month did you go?
I think like June or May. No, May.
March.
May.
I was there in March.
Wow. Yeah. See, and the greatest, like most successful people I talk to, they're the coolest. They're there with their jeans and barefoot. Like,
did you notice he carries notepad with him everywhere?
No, I didn't see that.
Notepad. Did you do a cacao ceremony?
Yes, we did.
You did a cacao ceremony. Did you go with him cycling to the island across? He goes every morning.
I didn't go because I didn't feel fit enough to compete with him, but I went for a walk. Did you go for a walk with him? I was glad I survived that walk. Like, I wanted to go with my Birkenstock, and then they said, no, put on some sneakers.
He's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he's amazing. And he's just also like, when we asked him, like, if there is one thing you would regret, like, what would it be? I mean, he doesn't have a life of regrets, right?
Sure.
I mean, he went everywhere and he tricked everyone, and he talked about his, like, tricking, England's police and with this April Fool's joke and so, but he said it was really much somehow getting involved in that money thing and forgetting what was important for a certain kind of period for his life. And that's what I think is like, if you have the freedom with money, which also means emotional freedom, not being a slave to money, not being a slave to your clients. This is where money is true freedom. If you stand up with the, like, I need to have more for what? Like, money needs a purpose as well, right? So it's all about the money, and nothing is about the money, if you ask
true.
Me.
Well, money gives you freedom, right? Money gives you choices. Money magnifies. So if you're a bad person, you do a lot of bad things. If you're a good person, you do a lot of good things. One thing I liked about Richard Branson, there was only one thing I didn't like, and I'll tell you. One thing I liked with lots of things, like, he made time for you. He was real.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was wondering if it was all marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's real.
Yeah.
Comes and sits with you in the morning. Did he jump in the water on the way out?
Yeah, he did. And did you have the sushi kayak?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
So that would be a great business opportunity.
The only thing I didn't like,
The
damn lemurs.
The what?
The lemurs. Lemurs? He has the lemurs on the island.
Ah, this.
Pissing and shitting on your breakfast.
Yeah.
And they have these water pumps. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get that.
They have these little monkeys with the tails, lemurs.
Yeah. But I wasn't the main house. I wasn't. And did you, like, where did you stay?
I stayed outside, but I had breakfast in the main house.
Okay. So, but the lemurs came to the main house?
All the time. All of their breakfast. I'm having porridge.
I was lucky,
and then the lemurs goes.
No way. Yeah,
honestly. And they started biting the other guests and stuff. So they were there with water pumps.
I didn't experience that.
It was horrible.
Perhaps it wasn't lemur season when I was there.
No, I think when you introduce an animal on an island and there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? There's chain of, predators. Yes.
Yeah.
They just grow in size.
Yeah.
And there were too many of them.
Yeah.
But everywhere. You couldn't even window open. They'd come in.
I didn't.
They were coming into my room and stealing things.
Did we go to the same island though?
Yeah. Where did you stay? One of the outhouses?
No, I was in the main house. I slept in the main house. So for me, that was convenient because everything was going down there.
Everybody's so chilled, man.
Everybody was so chilled. Like the staff was perfect. Yeah, just like, you know, the party is like him being dressed up on the evening.
He likes dressing up. You play tennis and paddle and stuff.
Paddle, tennis. He had this big tennis racket, which we played. Like he's just
he's amazing. He gets up early in the morning and he's on the way home. And someone says, Richard, tennis? Okay. He never says no. Richard, chess? Okay.
Yeah.
Jump in the, what's it called? The ice bath? Okay.
Yeah. He's just
yes,
on.
Yes to everything.
And how old is he? 70?
77, I think.
77. Yeah. It's like incredible. He's my role model. And he's like, yeah. And he said he didn't start until he was 40, becoming fit. So there is a...
And you know what? When you listen to him, he actually wants to live a long, healthy life. He's really disciplined about what he eats, how he exercises. Well done to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He deserves everything and more.
Exactly.
And he made us feel so welcome, always smiling.
Exactly.
Had time for us. Beautiful.
So that's a thing or like a character trait you have. I just want to talk about the Gladiator Summit because the Gladiator Summit, there were like 25,000 people there. It was amazing. It was like something I never experienced in the UAE before. You shaped the personal development scene in the UAE like massively with this summit. I'm definitely coming to the next one. If you see this, like, and if you want to come, I think I just hear it. Can I say it?
You can say we have a waiting list.
Yeah, the next one is in January, so sign up.
Only
for that.
700 people.
Only 700?
It's going to be very, very...
Then intense. I can't say this. Please cut it out.
Yeah, you can. No. Send them. Your energy at 5 is amazing.
Okay, great.
So thank you so much.
Yeah.
We create a very loving, safe environment for the people who attend so they can be themselves.
Yeah.
We're not trying to make them feel vulnerable so we can sell them anything. We don't sell anything. And people don't understand. As an event organizer, I want to pay for everything. It's my job.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket sales, sponsorships, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not there to make money out of selling you a course.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise that to the audience.
Yes.
And if anybody lets me down, I apologize because one speaker starts saying, here's my QR code.
Yeah. Well, so, that's the norm, right? So.
And I think that's why our tribe, our group, Gladiators, love what we do because it's all heart driven.
Yeah.
Not money or head driven.
Exactly.
By the way, sorry to correct you, but we were only 3,500.
Oh, 3,500.
It
sorry,
felt like 25,000.
Then I had the wrong information.
It was 3,500.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to lie.
No, it's okay. So 3,500 people, that's amazing because I'm hosting an event now in Düsseldorf in Germany. And I think like since COVID, people are harder to move. I think like doing an event, like organizing an event, like we are organizing this event for a year and there are only 300 people coming and this event.
Can English speakers come?
Sorry?
Can English speakers come?
Of course.
I'll speak on your stage if you invite me.
Oh my God. I'm going to let you fly in right
when
away.
When is it?
On the 4th of October.
I mean, if I'm around, I'm in. If you like me to speak,
amazing.
I'll be honored.
Amazing. You're just amazing.
Like, I'll be
seriously.
Honored.
I let you
know. As soon as they speak, you know, I don't be it through a translator because when I tell a joke and about everybody laughs 10 seconds later.
No.
And everybody's going. And then I saw something and they start laughing.
And you need to, like, you want to get a response if that joke was good.
Yeah, then
and
I move on to the next next sentence and they start laughing. I'm like, where am I?
Exactly. So I, you know, but I'm serious. Like, organizing an event is it's such a different thing than doing an online course. And I build wealth with online courses and online coaching. And I think, like, an event is just like the mastery. Yeah, you need to organize and pre-organize so many things, plan emotions and everything. So the Gladiator Summit was like really amazing. So I just want to say that no matter how many people, even if there were just 10 people, you got the most amazing speakers on stage. But what really sticked into my mind wasn't the great speakers like Vishen and Regan and I think like a lot like Chris Fade, like just a lot of amazing people. But what really sticked in my head was like the way you came on stage and said, how blessed are we that our children are safe tonight? And I think in that moment...
Don't make me cry.
So
many children are not.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that was like the first 15 minutes, I think, we were there. And I could feel that this event was different. And the approach you had was different because not a lot of people would come up the stage and say that. So I just felt this heartfelt connection. And I think it was a very feelable moment for everyone. And you were so, approachable also during the breaks. Like, you wouldn't need to do that. Everybody would been like thankful for the event, how it was, and you were there. And I know you had, like, you know, I think you even pushed a surgery or postponed a surgery for that. And I was like, okay, this guy is crazy on another level. Like,
I was when they were, you know, have you been to a restaurant where you're having such a good time, you turn around and all the chairs are on the tables and they want you out?
Yes.
I think I was there having photographs done when they were taking the chairs out the hall.
And it's like...
And I was exhausted.
But you were there.
It's not about me. It's about everybody else, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And there is... And that's like one thing which I think, okay, you talk about abundance and you really live abundance. And on the other hand, you have perhaps like this philosophy of success. You just said you worked how many years?
25?
40 years. 40. Like, are you even that old? Like,
I'm 60.
No, you don't look like that.
Thank you.
No. So, and seven days a week. And, have you ever come to a point where you said, like, I feel like I'm giving too much of myself for too little return? Or how is the duality of giving for you?
This is the conversation I have with my staff every single day. We had it this morning. What happens is when, first of all, I don't think I'm anybody. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm humbled and honored. One of my heroes, there's so many subjects to cover.
You have time.
One of my heroes was Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali. And what he said was when he was a kid wanting to be a boxer, he queued for hours outside the gym. And at that time, the world champion was standing outside to get an autograph and the guy just pushed him off. Mm-hmm. Said, not now, kid, or something like this. And Muhammad Ali made a decision that no matter how famous he gets, and he will be, he had certainty. Mm-hmm. When he becomes a world champion boxer, he will always have time for his people. Mm-hmm. So even when he was the most famous human being on earth, he signed every signature, mm-hmm. every autograph, every book, every shirt, everything. That's so I thought, I want to be like him. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got into the business of summits, by the way, that was my second summit ever, my event ever.
That's amazing.
You would never have thought so, because there's so many plates spinning. You got to make sure everything's okay. We had lots going on. Mm-hmm. And egos of the speakers. Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness. You know, that's one of the worst things that drained me.
I think one speaker didn't come, or like it's...
You mentioned his name. He messed us up. I'll tell you later record, because it's not fair.
Okay, it's not fair.
But the egos of the speakers. Mm-hmm. And that drained me. Mm-hmm. I don't like egos. Mm-hmm. I think to be successful, you need a fair balance of ego, which is confidence, and empathy, which is caring. Mm-hmm. If you're too egotistic, you become arrogant. Mm-hmm. And too many people become arrogant.
Exactly.
And if you've got too much empathy, everybody will walk all over you. Mm-hmm. So to be successful, you need an equal balance of confidence, yet caring. Mm-hmm. I like to maintain that. Mm-hmm. Because I've had two heart attacks, and God can take it away like this.
Exactly.
All the money in the world, everything, you just go like this. So what's it all about? What's an ego, right? Why do I need to show off? What's money? I have 15 cars. Mm-hmm. One of my cars worth $3 million, right? Mm-hmm. But it's for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me to flaunt it on social media, sit there having a cigar. It's for me. Because when you're top of the tree in my company, nobody's going to say, well done. You're the only one who's going to pat yourself on the back and buy yourself something, right? So cars and shoes are my weakness.
Oh, really?
So how did I get to have... They're not bad. How did I get to have a summit? Because I've been on many courses and many seminars around the world like yourself. Mm-hmm. I would attend yours and learn from you, Tony mm-hmm. Robbins, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer. I've been all over the world. And somebody came to me and said, look, Darius, you've done quite well and you need to speak on stage. Mm-hmm. And I suggest you go to this guy's seminar. Mm-hmm. And he happens to be next week in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think it was January 2024. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I turned up at this guy's seminar and I want to go and introduce myself to be a speaker. I didn't know when you have an event, everybody wants to speak on your stage.
Yeah,
you're the most popular human being on earth. And he was surrounded with lots of very attractive women. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'm not an attractive woman and I've got no chance. Mm-hmm. And I have a bit of an ego and I'm not going to be kissing his ass to get on his stage. So I just sit in the audience. As I was sitting in the audience, the AV system wasn't quite right. The distance between the audience and the stage was too far. I didn't feel connected. The speakers were trying to sell me courses. And I just felt I was just being taken advantage of, right? Mm-hmm. So there were two people next to me. And I said, Sharon and Sheikh, I said, I'd never met them before, but you got to know them. I said, I can do better than this. Those two were my first speakers on my stage.
Really?
And then I went and people said, don't do it. It's too much of a risk. I went to put a down payment at Banyan Tree Hotel and 600 people showed up.
Wow. Amazing.
I didn't discount one ticket, Jackie. I don't do deals. I don't do discounts and the giveaways, nothing. Mm-hmm. And then people came and said, it's incredible. I had like 60 dancers, entertainers, because it's edutainment,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's not just sit there and listen and take notes. Yeah,
exactly.
You cry, you dance.
Exactly.
And all the music and the videos I create. Mm-hmm. So I mixed everything. So I want to have my touch to the event. And then I went and booked the World Trade Center, dropped $1 million down payment. It's a big, big thing.
That's a big
thing. And sold out.
Yeah.
Sold out. My second ever event, and that's where I met you. So but I liked the second day of the event when it was 900 people. It's more, it was more closer. It was more intimate.
Exactly.
So I thought, you know what? I'll do another one. Quality people, amazing speakers.
Yeah.
And I'll do it in an intimate setting. So 10th of January, Banyan Tree. Mm-hmm. And then the after party is a concert.
Oh, nice.
9 till 11, it'll blow you away what I've got planned after that.
Definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed, by the way, by Vision's talk. Like, mm-hmm. Vision, he said one thing, like in 20 minutes, he crushed my, and I'm like in my corporate life, in my past life, I was a head of human resources. Mm-hmm. So I know about human resources, but he blew me away with a 20-minute speech about leadership. And he asked the audience, because everybody was like writing like this, and he asked the audience, shall I slow down? And everybody was like, yes. And in my head, I thought like, no.
Give me more information.
Please keep the speed. And then he said, you know what? I'm not going to slow down because if I will slow down, I'm not going to reach the people I really want to talk to. And I was like, wow, I'm a fan now. Like seriously, this mindset just blew me away.
Yeah.
So it was both. It was this like edutainment, but it was this like heartfelt connection. And I really like admire that because I know it's not easy to build like an atmosphere like that. Like you say, you have people are overwhelmed by what shall I buy? There are a lot of like people, mentors.
Are they going to deliver? I want to spend money. Am I going to be chasing them to make
exactly.
sure that they deliver value?
Please tell me what is your like number one sales secret? Because you're
trust.
A businessman above
trust.
All. Tell me about
trust.
It.
Trust. If somebody likes you mm-hmm. and they trust you, they will find ways to do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Louis Vuitton last week and I'm moving home and I'm interested in, I'm not going to spend any money on Louis Vuitton furniture mm-hmm. because they're like, fortunate prices.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to weigh up, see how much mm-hmm. the couch was and mm-hmm. table. And they sent me the expert on furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled out this presentation and he's trying to sell me. Mm-hmm. Not once he asked me, what's my vision for my house?
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, can I share you the look of my house? He goes, no, let me show you my houses of my customers.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to sit there, go through a presentation of his customers,
uh-huh.
which had nothing to do with mine. And he started sending me a case and this and that. And I'm thinking, this is too much pressure. You don't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not interested in what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to leave the shop.
Mm-hmm.
But if he spent 50% of his hello time mm-hmm. asking me questions, mm-hmm. I probably would have found the money to buy a very extortionately expensive couch.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I thought, I'm not going to go back there again. Mm-hmm. It's a shame because I go regularly and I buy everything else but furniture.
And one bad experience like that messes you up, right?
Yeah.
Puts you off.
And how many people are, how many people I've shared this story with, right?
Exactly. So like one bad thing, mm-hmm. like ruins the relationship to a whole brand, right? To a luxury
Absolutely.
Brand, which should attract and not chase, right?
Indeed. So what they should teach people, and I teach people, is that you should have childlike enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. So although I've, how many businesses do you think I've met? Thousands. Mm-hmm. How many business owners? Hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. How many people have I coached? Hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. I still have childlike enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wait to see you.
Yeah.
And they go, oh no, another podcast. Oh, mm-hmm. yes. I couldn't wait to see you, get to know you, what you do. So maybe this morning I was thinking, oh, I've done these podcasts, but the moment I'm in front of you, mm-hmm. you feel I'm really connected, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because people can tell, mm-hmm. the, especially ladies, they have this sixth sense.
Yeah.
Intuition. You can't bullshit it. So I'm blessed because I was brought up around women. I have that sixth
exactly,
sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I think that's where I'm different as a man. Because I have this sixth sense. Mm-hmm. When I made a mistake, I made a mistake. Honestly, my ego blinds me and I'll go this direction, mm-hmm. right? I made a mistake. So be real. Mm-hmm. Have childlike enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking about your rent. Stop thinking about your holiday, your car, covering school fees. Because the prospect can tell. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you continue doing this, the real things every single day, the money will flow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't make money your priority.
Mm-hmm. I think like that's like one thing that got lost a little bit because we live in such a quick environment and sales can happen just like that. Mm-hmm. But like building this trust foundation will also help you building a solid brand that people can trust. And in the end, I always say like lies perhaps win a marathon, but the truth will lies will always win the sprint, but the truth will always win the marathon. And I think it's the same with trust. Like perhaps people are not hyped or flashed or it's not the next shiny object thing, but it's like real in the core and people will always turn back to you because you're one of the real ones.
Absolutely. Years ago, before the internet, mm-hmm. I don't know if you're too young to remember, but if a company came and wanted to advertise, there was a picture of the CEO doing this or doing this. And
absolutely.
People go, oh, that's the CEO recommending this whatever mm-hmm. item. Now people don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they recognize it. So what they do is they go online mm-hmm. and check to see for how many years this CEO has been researching this product before mm-hmm. he sold it. So it's happening, but the audience has the right to make that decision. Mm-hmm. Before, we just believed what they said. Mm-hmm. Before, we believed cigarettes were cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody smoked cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now...
In the car with their children.
Indeed, yeah. Now you can do your own research and decide if you want to kill yourself or not.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And is it cool or not?
Exactly.
So we're not so PR-driven. Mm-hmm. The population are a lot more smarter. Mm-hmm. They're self-educated, self-researched.
Informed, okay? Yeah.
Informed. So... Mm-hmm. Decisions are happening quicker, but research is being done a lot quicker mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and en masse. Mm-hmm. So let's say you say the same thing, but you make a couple of mistakes. Mm-hmm. Maybe what you say is a lie. Mm-hmm. The audience will research it until they find that lie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you have to be real.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be real. Mm-hmm. And you will never get found out because you're speaking the truth.
Yeah. Right? So. How do you feel the use of AI will change the a perception of selling? Like, do you think it's going to be different how people, or is it just going to pay in the trust factor?
I think change is happening all the time. Mm-hmm. So we have to welcome change, right?
Yeah.
I love AI. I don't use it enough. I want to go on mm-hmm. courses and learn how yeah. to use it more.
Yeah.
The challenge is, I think people are always going to buy, people are always going to sell. Mm-hmm. And relationships are built face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can sell courses online, but mm-hmm. I promise you, you have 300 people in a room, get them to trust you and advise, 290 will go and sign up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
As long as they trust you and they know you're real.
Yeah.
So that's the best way of selling, human connection.
They already bought, by the way.
Exactly.
That's a client, yeah.
Exactly.
That, yeah.
And they'll buy more and they love
exactly.
you more and they keep
yeah.
coming back. So,
yeah.
The only way you can make more money is get them to come more often uh-huh. to spend more money. Mm-hmm. So, and sign up new clients.
Yeah.
But so that relationship is really powerful. Mm-hmm. During COVID, I sent an email to my clients and I said, COVID is temporary And people will always want to shake hands and connect. Mm-hmm. You won't believe how much abuse I got. Mm-hmm. Humanity's changed. They'll never shake mm-hmm. hands. Mm-hmm. There's pessimists out there.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to take me off your database mm-hmm. and always just be an optimist that yeah. still people like connection. Still people go to Coldplay concerts, yeah. 100,000 people go.
Yeah.
Right?
And also people that shouldn't go.
Indeed.
Go there together.
So when this finished, people wanted human connection more than ever before.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So 100%. It's always be there. But then smart people who welcome change can make a lot more money out of AI.
Uh-huh. 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think this is also like one of the things of being a leader, like being the visionary. And when times get dark, like it's very easy to follow pessimistic advice or to just go in a downward spiral. But like true leaders who are very self-embodied and know what they have and know that you can create like change, just like that, go through with a visionary, like vision of things and are true leaders to people. You know what I mean? And go ahead also with their thought, like thought leadership. So you wrote a book, right?
Before we go to that, can I just deal with that if you don't
sure mind? Yeah,
it hurts me to see that most people don't want to be leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts me
mm-hmm.
that at the same time I've come to a conclusion that most people look for leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we do need bus drivers, postmen, cleaners. Without them, the world won't go around, right? So mm-hmm. that's why there's only two seats in a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you've got to have a Ferrari bus, mm-hmm. right? So winners tend to be a few. And when you're a leader, you need certainty. You need certainty. You can lead people the wrong way, and you can lead people the right way.
Mm-hmm.
By just wearing a uniform, people will follow you. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's been proven. If somebody wears a uniform, a doctor's uniform, police, exactly. people tend to follow them and take the tablets. They don't even do research, mm-hmm. right? So most people are sheep, mm-hmm. okay? You have to take your good values, your good boundaries, and lead people the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And stay humble to know they can all be taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people lose themselves mm-hmm. when they become the power or wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe, God, or whatever, has a way of bring you back down to earth.
Exactly. What's like one of the most valuable lessons you learned in leadership?
Me?
Yeah. Personally, we want to know about you.
I can never do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
If I want true power, true wealth, I have to have a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blessed that my son is my partner. Mm-hmm. A man who works harder than me, is more principled than I am. He's a better human being than I could ever be. So I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I'm blessed that my son is my partner. Without him, I couldn't do it.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I have a son too.
How old is he?
He's turning 8. We have our birthday on the same day, 22nd of October. So I
congratulations.
Got him. Thank you so much. And I actually wanted to ask you like a pretty vulnerable question also for myself, because I'm a single mom. So my son, he doesn't have a lot of contact with his dad. And sometimes I think about the presence or also the absence of male, like influential leaders, right? Or role models for a boy, right? As you were a strong role model for your son and you got together and made business together, like bless this story. But you for yourself, you just said in the interview that you didn't have a father.
I didn't have any male figures.
Exactly. And you didn't have any male figures. So sometimes I think about that and I think about how can I like raise a son to be like a strong, like you're doing, like concepts of a modern gladiator. You're a leader. You're in your male energy. But was it hard for you not having this male role model? Because that's seriously a question I get into
of
my
course,
head about.
But life is hard.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he had a father there, he'll see his flaws.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is, my father died, so it wasn't by choice. But I always thought he was this amazing angelic figure. Then you're right. No, maybe he had affairs. maybe, you know, mm-hmm. maybe he drank too much, maybe he smoked too much, mm-hmm. maybe he was a bit of a naughty boy, you know? So as you get older, you realize everybody has flaws,
mm-hmm.
okay? But one thing I do cherish is that I can be a man because I'm built differently to you, right? And be proud of it, yet cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, I'm very open and connected to my emotions. So mm-hmm. I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't make me a female. Mm-hmm. I still have a strong handshake. And
of course,
cross me, you want to run, you don't want to cross me. Because that's my warrior side that comes out. As you get older, it's rarer. Mm-hmm. But no, celebrate the fact that he's living with a single mom.
Yeah.
Because you showing how powerful and strong you can be mm-hmm. and still go forward. He loves you more because of what you put up with and what he sees you. And whatever you do, don't knock anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just show.
Yeah. And I think like, I don't know if that's like, a connection to your emotions mm-hmm. is like a very like female side of success. And, he's so sweet because he's very emotionally intelligent already. And he always says like, yeah, if you need to cry, you need to cry. You know, everybody cries. That's what he says. Wow. Yeah.
And it's okay because you have this tendency of be a man, don't cry.
Exactly.
Right. So what they do, they go and jump off buildings because they can't handle depression.
Exactly.
And male suicide rates going up because mm-hmm. you have to be a man.
Yeah. Also in burnout, by the way, I did a lot of research like on burnout, and women tend to emotionally like get into like emotionally frustration quicker, which is mm-hmm. like the first phase of burnout. But males jump into the second phase of burnout right away, which is deeper because the first phase of burnout is more like the emotional drainage, which they can't express. And
You're not allowed to talk about it because it's a sign of weakness, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you hold it inside.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Many times I thought about suicide. Many times. But as I got older, I thought, no, forget that one. That's selfish. But as you have more responsibilities, you become less selfish,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if I committed suicide, there'd be too many people hurt. Too many people need me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, wow.
But I had an abusive childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You're not an abusive mother, but I had an abusive childhood. I didn't have a good childhood at all. I look back and I think 18 years of pain.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not going to allow that child to dictate the man I am today, right? So I've moved on. It was a long time ago. What did I learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sexually abused, and I meet people who were sexually abused. So I thank God that I wasn't. You know, there's always somebody worse than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always the story that can make you or break you, right? Mm. It's like when I see, like, allow me to say that, when I see you as a man, like totally in your male power and in your male energy, strong leader's energy, and at the same time, kind-hearted and knowing what's valuable, do you think that this also shaped who you are today, like this?
Okay, we're going to go off tangent a little bit, but I know... I sound being stupidly, I know it's very attractive to women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doing it to be, I know that it's very attractive to women when a man is just themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to be the flashy guy. They're not trying to be anything. And women recognize it. So if I was a single guy, yes, I would know, I wouldn't have any problems in having relationships because men think, they have to be something to be attracted to women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I studied this. And for instance, the biggest thing males search on the internet when it comes to relationship, you know what it is? Size of penis.
Oh, no, come on.
I swear.
How did we get here?
No, because the men think weird, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Men think like size is everything.
Thing. Yeah.
And women don't think that at all.
Exactly.
They want, how do I have more connection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So... we're all, as men go, we're all screwed,
mm-hmm.
okay? We're fucked because mm-hmm. we don't think they're real. We think ego,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly, yeah.
So once you get that rid of that ego, because at the end of the day, we're all going to die,
mm-hmm.
you see the real person.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to be as real as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, you're going to get your heart kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and because I rather live with an open heart
mm-hmm.
and have it kicked and stabbed and hurt, mm-hmm. but always live with an open heart.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being so scared of being hurt, which most people do, they never live with an open heart. So nobody will ever get to know them because they never give anyone a chance.
Exactly.
Because they're so scared of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They're so scared of pain. I don't just think pain is part of life. Buddhists say life is about suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So suffer, grow, learn, move on.
And I think that's like one of the most valuable lessons, because people, when they get hurt, or even me, when I got hurt, you tend to close your heart. Don't have this childish enthusiasm.
Yes.
Close your heart. Be self-protective.
Because you got a lot to lose.
Like, exactly. You got a lot to lose, especially your dignity, your ego. Like sure. You need to break your ego 1,000 times on the way to success, I think.
Sure.
And yeah, exactly. This like opening your heart again and again and again, and you got hurt and you're like, okay, I'm going to live and work through this, and then I'm going to open it again, because what's the option? Like living a
just don't make the same
life.
Mistakes again. You know, I see flags. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen this flag before. If I'm mm-hmm. stupid, I'll ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm smart, I just won't make the same mistake. Then you're mm-hmm. stupid if you make the same mistakes
exactly.
again and again.
Yeah.
So you got to learn and move on. But you have to kiss a few frogs before you get that prince,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't kiss one frog and it turns into a prince.
Mm-hmm.
So in life, you just have to keep growing, keep knocking. It's like sales.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the worst salesperson on the planet, but if mm-hmm. you knock on enough doors, some idiot will buy your product.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
there's always an idiot out there who's willing
yeah.
to spend money on anything.
Yeah.
The reason you're not selling and the reason you're not wealthy because you're not knocking on enough doors.
Mm-hmm.
Go and work harder.
Yeah. Is this like you need to live through pain or life is suffering, as you said? Mm-hmm. Like your concept of the modern day gladiator, mm-hmm. is this what it's based on? Or can you give us like
it's principles, you know, gladiators. I used to go and sit when I was 18, 19, used to go to Rome and sit all day staring at the building like I used to live at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some, maybe my past life, I was slave or a toilet cleaner, mm-hmm. I don't know, or maybe a gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually very principled people.
Mm-hmm.
They meditated,
mm-hmm.
they were vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
They had a community of gladiators. They were highly valued. They had boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the day of the event, they actually, most gladiators didn't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
If you entertain the audience, they don't want you to die
mm-hmm.
because you were entertaining.
Okay, got it.
And
yeah.
I kind of converted it to today's world. And I was like, the most people who, and the people who entertain the most amount of people are the richest.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sell the most cinema tickets, I'm the richest actor. If I sell the most concert tickets, I'm the richest musician. If I put computers on everybody's desk, I'm the richest computer salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the more people you entertain, the richer you get. So I have to have a reach of many, many people. That means I become wealthier.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, if I genuinely entertain
mm-hmm.
from heart, they don't want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to be, you know, sentenced to death.
Mm-hmm.
So. And the funny thing was, gladiators were born as slaves, and the more fights you fought, the closer to freedom you got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like life.
Yeah.
The more people you entertain, you buy your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are born as slaves, maybe financial slaves or
emotional
mm-hmm. yeah, slaves. So
absolutely.
If you have the desire, and the desire is far stronger than your fears,
mm-hmm.
you will take action.
Mm-hmm.
But if your fears are stronger than your desires, you'll sit on your hands, and the worst thing in the world is procrastination. I say the biggest, best aphrodisiac on the planet is action.
Mm-hmm.
Take action. Then you know. Instead of sitting at home, when is the time you worry most?
When you think.
Overthink. When you're in bed.
Mm-hmm.
When you're Excellent. In bed. Your mind's thinking and you're worrying. Why? Because you can't do anything.
Like entrepreneurs tend to sleep like this.
Correct. You wake up with the phone. The first thing you do, pick up the phone and ring. And you think, at least I know I took action.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you need to try it to yeah. see.
Hence,
right?
I've got this and I uh-huh. need to improve my sleep.
I ordered one just today.
It's
How
amazing.
Was your level today? Like,
amazing.
Seriously, I had one person.
I never get more than 50% sleep, which is bad. I have sleepy, I don't sleep very well. Sleep apnea.
Really?
Because of weight and age.
Ah, you have this like, do you have this kind of machine?
I do, but it's horrible. 2 a.m, it's blowing hurricanes and my eyelashes are like this. I'm like,
oh. And it's like, but you wear it, right? You need to wear it. It's for your organs.
I know,
because
but
otherwise
I'd rather die
oxygen.
Peacefully than in a hurricane, right?
No, so, you need to wear it. It's so important. Like,
I'm contemplating surgery to open up my throat.
Oh, is that possible?
I think it's less painful than losing weight.
But
I need to lose weight. Exercise more and lose weight.
You're perfect.
Thank you.
You're perfect. Thank but you. The last two questions, that's like actually we're diving in the natural flow of that. Like you have a lot to hold, like employees, like I'm building employees and team and everything. And then things are breaking together and then you build it all up again. And it's like, okay. Yeah. And then you have all of this amazing successes and businesses. Like, what do you do for yourself? Because I think holding the vibe of this visionary and optimistic, like for real, it's a full-time job. It's already a full-time job. Like, what do you do for yourself? What do you enjoy to keep your energy up?
Muhammad Ali said that if you look at life at 50, the way you look at it at 20, you wasted 30
mm-hmm.
years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I look at life may not be how you or your audience want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of like, I get really, I'll give you an example. I made an investment of about $2 million in a company back in January. Mm-hmm. And the guy wrote me a check for $3 million, a little bit more, dated end of May this year. Mm-hmm. End of May, 1st of June, I went to Seychelles, Maldives, cruise to Iceland and back, like the best scenic places on the planet. Mm-hmm. May the 30th, his check bounced.
Oh.
Okay. So, and in Dubai, if you bounce a check, you go to jail. It's not like Europe, you have to county court. 1 year
like
later, you still chase. Exactly. And you have to beg them. And then your court costs are far greater than what the guy owes you. So, and then he decides to pay you €5 a month for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
So here, imagine I'm with my family, with my wife and my kids in Seychelles on a private island. Uh-huh. Much nicer than Richard Branson's island. Okay. And I'm not enjoying myself because mm-hmm. I'm on the phone to the lawyers. I've CID. I put a case against him, mm-hmm. travel ban, mm-hmm. froze his accounts. Mm-hmm. I was in the best places on earth and I didn't have a good time because I wasn't present. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got paid. Mm-hmm. I managed to get paid mm-hmm. Finally, but he came after summer. Mm-hmm. Only recently cleared. So I thought, you know what? I actually get more enjoyment out of life when I'm playing Xbox with my 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. than I've ever had in my life doing anything else.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm in a place now where everything is taken care of and I just want to be present with my children.
Love that. Mm-hmm.
So I make sure every single night I'm playing Xbox with my kids. And to me, that's success. Uh-huh. Because I had two sets of children from a previous marriage and a current marriage. And the first two ones, I'm going to be a granddad in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And thank you. A little girl, and my 30-year-old, 31-year-old, I missed them growing up because I was building businesses.
Exactly.
This time around, I'm not going to miss my two younger ones growing up. Mm-hmm.
That's like not making the same mistake again and learning from everything. And I always say, like, there is a sense why the present is called the present, yes. Right? Because it's actually the present in the present. Exactly. It's a gift. It's a gift, yeah.
One thing, you know, change happens, time flies.
Yeah.
You know, when we go now, I get recognized a little bit. So when we go shopping, one or two people come to me and they say, you changed my life. And my kids are there. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the legacy I leave behind because uh-huh. they think our father changed lives for the better. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the fame. Oh, my mom said, oh, you always like being famous. And it's actually, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I'm an introvert. All I know is to have a better life. I need to touch people's lives and add value to them.
Exactly.
So the more value I add, the wealthier we mm-hmm. get.
Exactly.
It's not about
100,000%.
It's not about the fame. I don't give a damn. I like my uh-huh. space.
I always say it's not about the likes. It's about the legacy, right? Absolutely. So, and you have a like huge following, like building that. And I think that's so inspiring, not only for me, like not worrying or overthinking what to say to make people follow you, but just lead and just go and just be kind-hearted and just put it out there and do it for the legacy. And then people will come or eventually come. Not. And that's going to be fine too, right?
Having said that, after COVID finished, for 3 years, I was doing monthly seminars with 30 people. Mm-hmm. I forget sometimes that I actually, for 36 months, I was putting rooms of 20 and 30 people every month.
That's love
why
that.
Mm-hmm. 900 people showed up. That's
I
why 3,500. Mm-hmm. I sometimes forget myself that I put 3 years of work behind mm-hmm. it. Every single month, relentlessly, weekends. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And would you agree that if you are not able, like on a spiritual side, if you're not able to hold this room in the right intention, you will not get more?
Absolutely. This morning, a gentleman walked in today, and I don't want to have meetings. That's another thing, because we get to a stage whereby you feel people love your energy, but they suck your energy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm very aware of that, because I don't have as much energy as when I was 30, sure. So yeah. I just want to preserve it. And I was saying to my PR, you know, this guy, and he came in and gave me a gift. And he said, I just want to say the only people who changed my life is my father and you. Mm-hmm. And he pumped me up and I was feeling good. And mm-hmm. I was like, thank God I didn't cancel that appointment, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you need reminding that you're doing okay. Mm-hmm. You're good enough.
Yeah.
Not many people tell you you're good enough.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Yeah. Like this conversation is like going to be so inspiring, not only for me, I'm going to listen to it over and over probably, but also my community. So thank you so much. If I may ask one last question.
I like the way you ignored the invitation for me to speak on your stage. You didn't bring that up.
What?
You said it and you never said.
I was making phone calls on below the table, like organizing.
I'm excited
things.
To speak to your audience.
I would so love to set that up.
I'll be
like,
honored.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'll show you my diet. I'll show you all my flights, but I'm prepared to change them to come and speak and go. But I want to make your audience cry, laugh, love, be inspired. I promise you.
Oh, thank you so much. See that, like, people for real, like, successful people, like the most successful people I know are the most kind-hearted people I know. So even if you have a belief like you need to be hard or like successful people are this and that, you can let it go, because I got proof again that the most successful people are the most kind-hearted people.
Yes.
But it's not the like a little success. Like sometimes a little success gets you a little bit arrogant, like you said, but it's like the real success.
The real success is when you've had to work for it.
Exactly.
Appreciate it.
Self-made.
When it comes to you easy, mm-hmm. you can't appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's why a lot of your audience and a lot of my audience can't get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the reason for that is they can't charge for the fees.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to be coaches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say to them, Jackie, you're nice. Can you just give me a free session
mm-hmm.
and give me a price? And they give a price and they discount it. And the person says, should we see how it goes?
Mm-hmm.
And then they find it very difficult to charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because what happens, I tell them, they don't value themselves enough.
100%.
Everything is about self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
About self-worth. Mm. I was talking to one of my staff today and I said, look, I have cutlery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And are very, very expensive
mm-hmm.
brand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I realized in my house always we had cutlery, plates and knives and whatever. We were very expensive, but they always took this corner and we only use them for, it's like a wok
uh-huh.
for special times.
Exactly.
For special times.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you eat out of shit plates
uh-huh.
every day.
Uh-huh.
And only
for yourself.
Was, yes. but for the guests, we have those, right?
Exactly.
What does that tell you about self-worth?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right?
I'm
with
you.
So I said to myself, I said, no, I'm going to have this plate every mm-hmm. single day. Just mm-hmm. don't put it in the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just don't be silly. Right?
Uh-huh.
But I deserve this brand. I've worked uh-huh. for it. I'm mm-hmm. not going to put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
For that special occasion, I am the special guy. I have worked 47 years mm-hmm. to gain experience. Why is it that a lawyer sits in his desk and you have to go to him and pay him for 1 hour consultation? What is the doctor, just because they've been on 4 years university,
mm-hmm.
you have to go and pay them for consultation?
Mm-hmm.
Why is, as a life coach, you charge nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it, as somebody who advises, charge nothing? Because
mm-hmm.
you don't value yourself.
Mm-hmm. In the end, like,
it's all about self-worth.
Self-worth, self-love are the biggest, like, you think it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy myself this, or yeah, you just need to love yourself. But in the end, I figured that the like most intense processes, you always go to always come down to self-worth and self-respect.
Always. Yes. You got to deliver. There are also people who have a lot of self-worth, take the money and don't do anything.
Exactly.
That's criminal,
yeah,
right?
But that's also not self-respect. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not against your values,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Value is to add value.
Mm-hmm.
One of your values is to add value.
Exactly.
So if somebody pays me, my reputation in the marketplace is that God help you if you pay Dariush. Because
mm-hmm.
he delivers and he's a bull in a mm-hmm. china shop.
Exactly.
My head changes from nice guy to bull.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you paid me, if I gave you $10 and you had your own $10, probably you'd be frivolous with your 10. You go have a coffee. But if I say to you, Jackie, look after my $10, you will guard it with your
mm-hmm,
life.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is, when the moment people pay me, they know Dariush delivers.
But that's the self-made vibe. I think people who have this vibe, they mostly come from nothing, because they know.
They value it.
Yeah, because they value it. It's not like, I don't mean to be like shit talk, but if you do crypto investments and you get a lot of money just in like one time shot, this money feels so different than the money you
might as well go to the casino, put someone red and someone black and see how it goes.
Exactly.
You haven't earned it.
Mm-hmm.
You've just been lucky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you're lucky, you don't, you're a gambler.
Yeah.
And those crypto people, but they got billions now, tomorrow have nothing
mm-hmm.
because they keep putting on red or black and they think they're they're right every time, but one day it's going to be red when they put money on blacks.
So. Yeah. And I think that that's what gives you the true freedom is because you rely on yourself when creating success, money. Like you can take, like people can take it all away from you and you build it up much faster next time. Right. That's your story.
My advice, wealth, is having said all that, start saving.
Mm-hmm.
I wish somebody had taught me this. I only started saving 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blessed enough, we're blessed enough to be in Dubai, because in Europe and America, they pay you 3-4% a year if you're lucky. I have investments that pay me 30% a year monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been compounding. Please, your audience got to learn about compound growth. I've been compounding for 9 years, disciplined. Mm-hmm. When I had a chance to buy things, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have to work for the rest of my life because of my savings, not my businesses, because of my compounding.
It's like multiplying.
It's going like this. I can't spend fast enough. I'm saving half of what I'm earning and it's just growing.
Yeah. And I think it's like this, this circle of money. First, you need to learn to create, and then you need to learn to hold, and then you need to learn to compound and multiply it.
Compounding. Right? Because the true wealth is passive income.
Mm-hmm.
You're not selling your time.
100% But I just got there now because, you know, like I said, it's also for me, it's a learning. Like I feel like I have role models, but I need to learn my way up the ladder. And first I was like, oh, I can create millions. And I was like, woo, yeah, this is me. And then it got normal. And then it's like, yeah, it's not only about creating, like the, like I'm working hard and I'm working around the clock and I'm a single mom. I'm not truly free right now. Mm. So that's why I started. No, that's why I started multiplying also, like compounding.
Assist you out of here to help you to invest in places where you guarantee 30% a year. Do it.
See, people, this is how business is being made, like connections, connections at the tables. Like I think it's just like I'm truly thankful for that too. And I think it's truly also development, because before, when it's not in your reach from your identity, you don't see that you have this opportunity. Like, you know, money making is hard at first and it gets easy. And then you see, oh, this is so easy, it actually should be forbidden. Like, is this really
You're
true?
You're so right. I have a client of mine who's an, he's probably the hardest working entertainer in UAE. He's the hardest working entertainer I know worldwide. You know him. Okay, we sat down and I said, you stop selling your time. You only get 3 hours of sleep. He has a radio program 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. He goes to bed late and every night he's doing events. So I sat down with him and I showed him compound growth. Every time I trust you. Okay. He put $1 million in at 36% a year. 6 months later, I sat him down and said, compound growth. And he goes, oh God damn it. He put another $1 million in.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's earning, think about this, $720,000 a year. Passive.
Passive, yeah.
Passive. It's good living, right? He's working his ass off, not earning equivalent amount of that money. Every single day, he's thinking this is too good to be true and it's going to go bust.
100%.
So I sat him down. I said, why don't you enjoy the process?
Because
you're so conditioned to work hard, you're not enjoying this process.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the identity shapes the reality.
Indeed.
Right?
Indeed. So some people are earning it, but they're not even appreciating because it's so conditioned about negativity and selling your time.
But you need to, somebody who can show you from an elevated place who has been through it that there is a different reality you
eventually,
can like elevate
when, to. When it's his time, he will pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his trust is 3 years, not 1 year. Mine was 2 months. You know, business owners, we're optimists, right? Happen, let's go in, let's do it, right? With him, maybe 3 years later, he'll go, you know what? Darish was right. I can compound now.
Yeah.
But I've noticed in life, you can't force people to do something when they're not ready for it.
100%. I compounded now. I got into investment because I think my next level identity is not only being an entrepreneur, but being an investor, right? Yes. That's like the next stage.
The investments you want to make is guaranteed investments because you're not in a position to take risk on shares. And then your life changes on shares going up and down. I don't need that in my life. I want to invest when I know the money's coming in. I have an investment, best investment I've ever made, is olive trees in Georgia. They'll return me 46% a year.
Never. Like
200 years. These trees will be giving out oil for my great-grandkids. And I own the land. I own 12,000 trees. And price of olive oil is going up. Everything, everybody needs olive oil. It's just a bit different. Yes. So every year I get 46%, and it's going to go to 50 or 60, because as the trees get bigger, they give out more olives.
So it's also not only about the sexy work, like the hype work, but also about like the
what makes sense here.
What makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have so many conversations. You talk to so many people on your podcast. You come on other podcasts. You, like I said, you meet so many different people. What makes a conversation like really memorable for you? That would be my last question.
Good story.
Mm-hmm.
A good story.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down with young people who have a very short business life, but they have a really good story.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down with old people who can't make head or tail because they don't have a story.
Uh-huh.
What the audience buys is a really good, and everybody has a story,
mm-hmm.
an inspirational story. Yeah. So I just say, practice your own story, because people want to hear your story and value it. A lot of people think, well, who wants to hear my story? I've got nothing. I don't have anything spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But you do. We all have a story to tell.
Yeah. That's great. Like business advice, personal advice, advice that can open doors. So thank you so much for this amazing podcast interview.
Thank you.
And thank you for being so honest and giving so many gold nuggets to us.
I honor you. I salute you, my gladiator.
I salute you, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.